It's 7:09 at CJD 800. Not long ago, my friend Michael Libling told me about a book that he was reading, and he said, "You've got to read this book," and I did. It's by Bill Shun. He's the author, and it's called The Accidental Terrorist. It's a look inside. And by the way, the terrorist part is not really what the book's about. I think it's just a dandy title. The thing is that he did, as a very young man, 18 years old, he phoned in a bomb threat to an airline. And, I mean, you just don't do that. And that was in, he's an American, and this was in northern Alberta. Anyway, the story is fascinating. The book is The Accidental Terrorist, and Bill Shun is on the line now. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave.
Let's begin with the title. As some reviewer said, this may just be my favorite true life, amazing but true tale. Never has threatening an aircraft been funnier or more thought-provoking. You pretty much got away with that, but the aircraft, I mean, threatening it and so on, but you were in love.
Yes.
So you're allowed, I guess. The thing that struck me is that when you tried, as a very young man, you were in your early 20s, I think, when you tried to leave the church and leave being a missionary, a Mormon missionary, they really pulled out all the stops to make sure that you got back.
They did. I was 19 years old, and the Mormon Church was just, I think, paranoid to lose anybody. They called up the church APB system, the emergency broadcast system, and called out bishops and church leaders and missionaries all along my bus route from Calgary to Salt Lake City, and actually managed to catch me in Great Falls, Montana.
Part of the story of your story takes place, of course, in Canada.
Yes.
Which I found interesting. I didn't, frankly, you know what, Bill? I didn't know we had the Mormons in Canada.
Well, the Mormons are a pretty significant presence in southern Alberta, very far southern Alberta. They were sent by various Mormon prophets to colonize just north of the border back in the time when polygamy was being practiced and was really being cracked down on in the United States. The church also sent settlers to northern Mexico for the very same reason.
Is polygamy still practiced at all by Mormons in North America?
It's practiced by some breakaway sects of the Mormon Church, but the mainstream Mormon Church disavowed polygamy back in 1890 after a really long, protracted fight with the federal government. And then, because church leaders kept practicing polygamy secretly after that, they had to issue another declaration in 1905 that really this time polygamy is absolutely done.
Okay. The thing that really got me reading the book, and it's a significant length, your book, but not at all, I wouldn't want it to be one page shorter, as a matter of fact.
Oh, thank you.
I think that's the way I wanted to put that. The thing is that when it comes to ordinary mortal human beings who are now called prophets, which happens in the Mormon Church, a lot of people like me have trouble with that somehow. Can you understand that?
Oh, I can absolutely understand it. Even being raised as a believing Mormon and believing in the church into my 20s, I had trouble with the concept that there was actually a man in Salt Lake City who was talking face-to-face with God. It really didn't make sense to me.
Does it now?
No, it really doesn't. I stopped practicing Mormonism about 20 years ago. And in fact, delivered an official resignation letter to the church in November on the same day that my book was published.
I was stunned too, and this comes up a lot in the book, is that missionaries are known or called elders, and you're 19 years old.
Yes, that's something that always struck me as funny also. It's actually the name of one of the ranks in the Mormon priesthood. When you turn 12, you're actually ordained into the priesthood, and you get the rank of deacon, and then you gradually work your way up from there until you become an elder. Later on in life, you might become a high priest. But it is very strange that everyone has to call us 19-year-old kids elders.
Tell me about the underwear. Normally, I wouldn't ask a gentleman this question on the radio. But I found that to be stunningly odd.
Well, yes. A lot of people ask me about the underwear. If there's one thing you know about the Mormon Church, it's that they wear funny or magic underwear. And what this really is a sort of a cotton undergarment that is worn next to the skin to remind Mormons of covenants that they make in a temple ceremony called the endowment. And it's there. This is going to sound really weird, and it should. It's there in the endowment ceremony that you learn the handshakes and passwords that are going to help you get into heaven in the afterlife. And there are some symbols stitched into the undergarment that are meant to remind you of those covenants.
Another thing that many find odd about the Mormon Church is the fact that they encourage really, really large families.
Yes, they do. I think Mormon families have shrunk in size over time, along with probably everyone else's. But I myself was the oldest of eight children, still am. And in fact, there was a kid I went to high school with back in Utah who was the 18th of 19 children. And this was in the 80s still.
Bill, I began our interview by talking about the fact that you were in love. Did you and your sweetie ever get together again?
After I was finished being a missionary, we did continue to date for a few weeks, but then we broke up. We did stay in touch for a while, actually several years, and she is one of the people who was the first one of the first people to point out to me how miserable Mormonism was making me and started asking me, you know, why are you even in this church? She left the church before I did, and eventually I did too. And, you know, we still see each other every few years. She'll be passing through town and we'll say hello.
The thing is, Bill, that I felt so sorry for you when I read about what you did, particularly in Alberta, in the middle of nowhere. You were in towns that I don't really even know. And it was the dead of winter in some cases. There you were. You're away from your sweetie. You're not allowed to date there. They make you go around neighborhoods and knock on doors and try to indoctrinate people into the Mormon Church. And I just felt so bad for you. And it's just like, wow, what took you so long?
That's a fair question.
Thank you.
What took me so long is that in the Mormon faith, and particularly in my family, there's a very high premium placed on missionary service. Now the age of service is 18, but it was 19 back when I went on a mission. And really, everyone in your church community puts a lot of pressure on you to serve your 2 years in the mission field, to the point that they encourage young women in the church not to date anybody who hasn't been on a mission. It's really family and community pressure. And in my family, it was just unthinkable that you would not serve a mission.
And your parents were on the side of the church when you decided you didn't want to do this anymore.
Correct. Yes, they were. They were right there on the phone trying to talk me into staying on my mission along with everybody else.
What's your relationship with your parents now, if I may ask?
Well, my father passed away in 2008. We never really reconciled over the topic of the religion. I mean, we certainly saw each other and we could talk and get along, but he was pressuring me to the last day of his life, basically, to return to the church.
My goodness.
My mother has a more laissez-faire attitude, although she would certainly be glad to see me come back. And as for my siblings, I said I was the oldest of eight. Four of us have ultimately left the church, and four are still members.
Not long ago, I was walking down a dusty street in Central America, and I noticed, this is after I had read the book, just not long ago, and I saw two young men walking down the street, and the first thing that struck me is, why are they dressed like that? It's 95 degrees. And even though it was slacks and a shirt, a dress shirt, it was terribly out of fashion, if you know what I mean. It was,
yes.
They were too big and they were too, there was just too much going on there, too much, well, fabric, I guess. The thing is that what cued me into what they were is, of course, the black name tag.
Right.
Which I learned in the book, you were wearing for most of your teenage years, I gather.
Yeah, from the age of 19 to 21, I was wearing that name tag, walking around all over Alberta and then later the Pacific Northwest. The Mormon Church has very strict standards for the appearance of missionaries, including wearing white shirts and ties all the time, a suit on certain occasions, and short haircuts. And the name tag, obviously, really sets missionaries apart from the rest of the community, and it enforces this sense of isolation that you have as a missionary. You're in a community, but you're not really part of it. You're supposed to keep yourself separate and holy, and it really does serve to remind missionaries that they are not like other people.
The two young fellows I saw in Central America, Bill, had a look on their faces like they knew a secret that I didn't. They looked rather pleased with themselves. Does that sound at all familiar?
It does. It does. There were occasions where people would come to the door with smug things to say to us or insults, and we had insults ready to go back because we pretty much knew or hoped we knew that that we had the true gospel of Jesus Christ, and that one day those other people would end up in hell or something. You know, we were very, very arrogant in that way and couldn't really understand why other people didn't really want to hear the lesson that we were trying to give them.
$64 question, Bill. Are Mormons Christians?
Yes. From my standpoint outside the religion, I can say firmly that they're Christians. They believe in Jesus Christ. I don't think their take on Jesus is any stranger than any other religion's take on Jesus.
Who has more money, the Mormons or the Scientologists? I hear they both do rather well.
They do. That's a very open question. The Mormon Church has just piles of money socked away, and I've read some investigative journalism reports that have just tried to dig into the finances of the Mormon Church and figure out how much money they actually have. And I believe I saw somewhere the staggering figure of $35 billion. And it's not clear whether that's all cash in vaults or in real estate holdings, but they really do have an enormous financial stash. And they are actively requiring all their members to give 10% of their income to the church. So there's this constant infusion of tithing that's supposed to be used for good works, but really seems, a lot of it seems to be just going straight into the bank.
Well, which brings me to the way you describe someone who is actually baptized into the church, someone I think you helped recruit, as a matter of fact. And that I found a little odd. You know, I mean, when I was a kid, I was an Anglican. But I mean, so I found the whole thing just a little bizarre. Do you find it? My God, I did some weird things.
I do find that I did some really weird things. Baptism to me seems like our method of immersing people in water, wearing white clothes. I don't find that so different from what some other Christian sects
That's
do.
True.
But the Mormons definitely have some very very strange other practices, including, as I alluded to earlier, the endowment ceremony where you learn the handshakes. And also they perform these baptisms by proxy for people who've already died. They do that in the temple because they believe that everybody who's ever lived on the earth needs to have a chance to receive a Mormon baptism if they're going to have any chance of being saved in the next life.
Bill, congratulations on a terrific book. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much, Dave.
The Accidental Terrorist, Confessions of a Reluctant Missionary, is available wherever good books are sold. And this is CJAD 800. And the author's name again is Bill Shun. What a book. It's 7:23.